You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of the UFC podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us ahead of UFC on Fox 23 live from the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado. Three fights to look forward to with BT Sport pundit Gareth A. Davis. And we're going to recap the incidents over the past fortnight to a month. And we're also going to look ahead to a big year in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. First of all, a warm welcome to a man that's going to be analysing the fights. Gareth A. Davis is live from Las Vegas on this Friday morning for you, Gareth.
Yes, indeed. A very happy new year, belated. I don't think we've spoken until... we might have spoken earlier. No, we haven't. I think this is the first time we've spoken this year. I'm in Las Vegas. There's plenty of great mixed martial arts, UFC action, fight sports action in 2017. It just goes from strength to strength, Dave. It's going to be a massive year in the UFC this year.
We haven't spoken since Yair Rodriguez beat BJ Penn. Was that a shock, Gareth, would you say?
No, I don't think I mean, for me, it was a matchup that, you know, BJ Penn is a legend in the sport, and he's one of those guys that, you know, deserves his face up probably on the Mount Rushmore of MMA, if you were putting the guys up there, or the UFC, you know, holding the UFC title in two weight divisions. But, you know, he's well past his sell-by date, and Yair Rodriguez, El Pantera, really showed that. I mean, you know, it was like a young, versatile fighter beating up a Mark One or Mark Two fighter from back in the day. Look, BJ Penn was ahead of his time years ago, but father time catches up with all fighters. And yeah, I didn't really like seeing it. It was such a dominant performance by Rodriguez. It would have been great. It would have been a great fight to bet on, because you could not see BJ Penn. I couldn't see BJ Penn winning that fight. You know, for a start, you know, he was up against a guy that won the Ultimate Fighter, very powerful. You know, it was his first fight in 2 and a bit years, 2.5 years, and he was on a. He basically lost five of his last seven coming into that fight, over 6 years, over 4 years, up to 2014. And I thought he was a bit of a sacrificial lamb to blood, Yair Rodriguez, as a main eventer in the UFC. I don't want to see too much of that, to be honest, Dave.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned that this is a big year for the UFC, 2017. What do you anticipate happening this year for the UFC?
Well, I think, you know, you look ahead to March. We don't know what's going to happen with Ronda Rousey. Obviously, she lost, brutally stopped by Amanda Nunes at the end of the year, the big card in Las Vegas at the end of the year. You know, Nunes has got some great potential matchups at bantamweight. But, you know, Conor McGregor is the story this year. What happens with Conor McGregor? Does John Jones come back? The UFC have just announced that Daniel Cormier will fight Anthony Rumble Johnson again. That'll be their second fight. Cormier, DC, defending the UFC light heavyweight belt. Early in March, we've got a brilliant card with Tyron Woodley and Stephen Thompson rematching for the UFC welterweight crown. That's a brilliant card. Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson meeting at lightweight, probably the number two and the number three in the division behind Conor McGregor. The winner of that, they fight for the interim belt. That's a great contest. And the winner of that probably does fight Conor McGregor. I imagine that's going to be a summer fight, or late summer fight, very late summer fight. Alistair Overeem and Mark Hunt on that card. You know, it's it was fascinating this year is what the UFC does with Conor McGregor. He's taken this enforced break. But, you know, right now he is the big name. But I want to know what's going to happen with John Jones because he's still the greatest talent in UFC.
Let's talk about this weekend then, Gareth. We've got UFC on Fox 23, which comes from the Pepsi Center in Denver. And three fights priced up on the William Hill website. And we'll start with Andre Arlovski versus Francis Ngannou. And Arlovski is 100-30, big outsider in this bout. Ngannou is 2-9. These two are heavyweights. And Arlovski has lost three in a row since putting together what was an unlikely four-fight winning streak to begin his most recent stint in the UFC. And he's up against the youngster here, Ngannou, who is a real beast, Gareth.
Yeah, he is. He really is. He's a coming force. I mean, he's a young. You say he's a young heavyweight, even though I think Francis might be 30 now. But he's still a young heavyweight in many ways. So he's a fan of Mike Tyson. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Andre Arlovski came back into the UFC in 2014, and in 2014-15, you know, he went on that kind of four-fight winning streak, beat Brendan Schaub, Antonio Silva, Bigfoot Silva, Travis Brown, Frank Mir, and then it was disastrous 2016, losses to Stipe Miocic, Alistair Overeem, and Josh Barnett. And now he's up against this kind of guy who wanted to be a boxer, 6'4", originally from Cameroon. You know, he's a very powerful fighter. Was going to be a boxer. He loved Mike Tyson growing up. He wanted to be a heavyweight boxer. And then he started training in the MMA factory gym in Paris. You know, he's still quite green, but, you know, he's had a single loss to Zumana Sise back in 100% Fight Contenders back in 2013. But, you know, since he's come in the UFC, you know, Luis Enrique, the Mihailovic victory, Anthony Hamilton, this is his first step up, if you like, to one of the big names. And he'll really be up for this. And you know, I fancy him to win this. Like you say, Andre Arlovski, a big underdog. He's a very clever striker, Arlovski. And I think Ngannou is really gonna go for it in this fight. I see a knockout for Ngannou in this contest, and I think we see him marching on and, you know, and up the heavyweight rankings. I mean, at present, he's number 10 in the rankings. But when you think that Arlovski's 7, this is a great opportunity for him to leapfrog up the rankings ahead of Travis Brown, the likes of Derek Lewis. And then he's got those fights ahead of him, the likes of Mark Hunt, Ben Rothwell, Junior Dos Santos over him, Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum, or even the champion Stipe Miocic, if he goes on a 3 or 4 fight winning streak. So, you know, it's the old guard against the new guard here, and I think the new guard are going to march straight through.
And Ngannou to win by way of knockout in this fight. And you mentioned that boxing background that Ngannou has. That seemed to have helped him in the UFC because he's got an impeccable understanding of range and timing, well beyond his experience in this competition.
Yeah, he's got five victories by knockout. I mean, I think three of his, he had a Kimura submission against Anthony Hamilton, but you know, he's made his case known, you know, with his first three victories by KO or TKO in the UFC. He's very powerful. He's a very strong striker. And, you know, it's whether Arlovski can be smart and just counter him. But I don't think so. I think Ngannou will melt Arlovski. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's a first-round knockout, Dave.
A first-round knockout for Francis Ngannou in that fight against Andre Arlovski. Let's move on to Donald Cerrone versus Jorge Masvidal. And Cerrone 8-13 to win this fight. Much tighter betting here. 8-13 Cerrone with Masvidal in the market at 13-10. And this is Cerrone's fifth fight in the space of 12 months. Yeah. And this promises to be all action, this fight. And he's done exceptionally well since moving up to 170 pounds, Donald Cerrone. He's finished all four of his opponents inside the distance. And those wins have come against durable opponents like Matt Brown and Rick Story in his last two outings as well. So Cerrone, he's been fighting quite a lot recently, Gareth.
He's one of the most active fighters in the UFC. He's a real fan pleaser. He's a real favourite. When you think that he made his welterweight debut last year and he had four, he was very active, four fights last year, three of them performances of the night against Alex Oliveira, Patrick Cote, and Rick Story. You know, the triangle choke submission against Oliveira, brilliant in the first round. TKO punches third round against Patrick Cote, in which he dominated him, really. And then, you know, the second round stoppage of Rick Story with the head kick and punches, phenomenal. And as you say, Matt Brown as well, victory over a very dangerous opponent. You know, he really beat Brown up in that fight. And Brown was very resilient as well. He's a very tough, very resilient man. I think the point is about Masvidal. He is a very fine, you know, the Hispanic American is a very fine boxer and kickboxer. Very, very experienced. You know, he's only 32, but I think he's had 42 MMA fights already. You know, he's up and down. You know, but two good victories off the back of, you know, victories over Ross Pearson, Britain's Ross Pearson, unanimous decision, and a stoppage in December last year against Jake Ellenberger. Phenomenal victory there. This is going to be an all-action fight. You can't pick against Cerrone. He's so brilliant with his Muay Thai. He's great on the ground as well. You know, Masvidal is a fairly rounded fighter as well, but he's not a guy that gets many submissions. You know, 17 decisions, 12 knockouts, two subs victories in his 31 victories out of 42 fights. So, you know, the thing here is it's whether Donald Cerrone chooses to stand and bang and trade with Masvidal, or whether he takes the opportunity, takes him down and goes for submission. I think he might well do that. Cerrone, it's the start of the year. Cerrone will probably want to fight four times. He'll want to be smart. You know, I cannot back against Cerrone. I really do think he'll do a number on Jorge Masvidal and probably win on points or by a third round submission.
8-13, Donald Cerrone the pick. If Masvidal is to win this fight, is it key that he puts pressure on Donald Cerrone? Because he likes space to manoeuvre, doesn't he, Cerrone? And we saw that in those two wins that Rafael Dos Anjos had over Donald Cerrone. That was key, really, just pressurising him and putting him on the fence.
Yeah, exactly. Rafael Dos Anjos did it very well. And, you know, the, like you say, the key is Jorge Masvidal gets his mojo in this fight, gets his timing right. But Cerrone is so tough. He's got such a great chin. He's a very, very hard man. Like you say, if Jorge Masvidal puts pressure on, then, you know, that he could come out with a victory. But Cerrone's got such a brilliant work rate. He knows how to finish. He's so technically brilliant. And he's on an amazing run. Mm. You know, I don't know how long, you know, he's 33 now. I don't know how long he can keep going on four or five fights a year. But, you know, right now you cannot back against him.
The feature fight of the evening is Valentina Shevchenko versus Juliana Pena. And this is a bantamweight clash with Shevchenko priced up at 4-5 here with William Hill. Juliana Pena is even money. We do have other markets available on this fight on the William Hill website as well. We've got method of result, round betting, fight to go the distance, and total rounds. Over 3.5 is 4-9. Under 3.5 is 13-8. And in all likelihood, this matchup, Gareth, will determine who is going to challenge the champion, Amanda Nunes, in their next bout. So there's a lot at stake here, Gareth.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Juliana Pena was out for ages with knee surgeries and issues with injuries. And, you know, but she is a brilliant fighter. You know, won the Ultimate Fighter 18 back in November 2013. And unfortunately, didn't then come back till April 2015 after the knee surgeries that she sustained in a training accident in the gym. But really, she's looked brilliant. I mean, particularly last year in July against Kat Zingano, UFC 200. She was spectacular. Unanimous decision victory. carved up a very, very tough Kat Zingano. Pena's a beautiful woman, the Venezuelan vixen. And, you know, the thing is, she's such a rounded fighter. She scrambles and grapples and strikes. She's got an amazing work rate. And Shevchenko, really, even though she's got submissions on her record, it tended to be there are a lot of submissions in kind of smaller organizations in Kazakhstan and Russia and Kyrgyzstan and these kind of places where she was fighting before. But since she's come into the UFC, you know, it's her striking that's looked really good. Very good victory over Holly Holm. A loss to Nunes already, by the way, of course, at UFC 196 in March last year. So many people would expect Juliana Pena to win this fight. I'm going for her. I think she's got the more tenacious game. She's got a lot of vim and vigor about her in the way she goes about opponents. And I think I see Pena either subbing Shevchenko in the middle rounds or winning by unanimous decision in this fight, or even a TKO. She's so tough, Pena. I think she'll take her time to get into the bout, but I see her winning by hook or by crook. I see her winning either by submission, knockout, or points.
Are you surprised she's the outsider of the two then, Gareth?
I am. I am. I've got to be honest. I think Pena's a good bet for this fight. Look, Shevchenko's a very fine striker. She's been a great kickboxer in her career. She's been a professional boxer. But she's looked great. But I just think Pena's got an X factor. Shevchenko, you know, she's a second Dan black belt in Taekwondo. She's got brilliant Muay Thai from Tiger Muay Thai. She's got Gracie Barra, kind of jiu-jitsu behind her. But, you know, I just feel that Pena just has something about her. And I've watched her. Anyone that's got a victory over Kat Zingano for me has to remember that Kat Zingano, remember, weathered the storm that Amanda Nunes put on her a year and a half or so ago, and then came back and beat her after 7 minutes of being terrorized. Pena really out-grappled and out-maneuvered Zingano at UFC 200 last summer, and I just think she's got the wherewithal to win this fight.
Gareth, if you put your three selections together here, Francis Ngannou at 2-9, Donald Cerrone 8-13, and Juliana Pena at even money, just under 3-1 as a treble for the action at the Pepsi Center in Denver, UFC on Fox 23. Not bad, just under 3-1, Gareth.
That's not bad, is it? I mean, that picking those three is quite a sensible option if you want to go 3-1. I think that's great.
Gareth, thank you for your company on the podcast.
Brilliant. Well, let's speak next week. I think we're looking at Dennis Bermudez and Chan Sung Jung next week, and Alex Agrasso coming up against Felice Herrig. Can't wait to speak to you again, Dave. It's great to be back on the trail and on the UFC Buzz podcast.
Thank you once again to Gareth. Thank you everyone that's tuned in and listened as well. Make sure you download this podcast via audioboom.com. Do check Gareth out on Twitter as well, at Gareth A. Davis DT. You can check myself out at D. Kellner, and make sure you have a look at William Hill's lines ahead of the UFC on Fox 23 at the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado. We'll be back next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.